I've enjoyed listening to them practice. I practiced with them a couple of times. They told me I couldn't sing. No, I'm just kidding. They did tell some others here they couldn't sing, not me. But I enjoyed it. Let's give them another big hand. That's great, right? Amen. It's great to be in the house of the Lord. I've got just three verses that I want to share with you, and I'm not going to be long. But I love the singing, but we want to open the Word of God. We want to talk a little bit about Jesus this morning. In the book of John, chapter number 1, we want to read the first three verses. And I want you to think about Jesus. And think about this. Could a day in December truly mark the beginning of the Son of God? Was Jesus beginning when he was born on this earth and he came as a little baby? Well, surely and truly it's not. And we want to talk about that for just a few minutes. And we want to talk about this subject. Before the Son, S-O-N, became a baby. See, unlike us, Jesus existed long before his birth. Long before there was actually air to breathe. And long before this world was born. I want to read in John chapter 1, the first three verses. It says this: In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Now, if we consider it and think about it for just a minute, and it's truly difficult for us with a finite or a limited mind to try to understand everything about the purpose and the plan of God. I heard a song one time that it's such a strange way to change or save the world, that God would send His only begotten Son into the world, and He came, and He was born of a virgin, and He came into this world as a little baby. But that was not the beginning of Jesus. What I want you to consider in regards to Jesus is I want you to consider the Son of God in eternity past. Now, when I say eternity past, it's hard for our limited minds to really understand eternity. But it's also hard for our limited minds to really understand the concept of God. We just have to listen to the Spirit and be willing to bow to it. But the first verse that we read said, In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, if you think about that and you say, well, it says the Word, how do we know that this Word that they're speaking of is Christ? Well, if you go to 1 John chapter 5 and verse 7, the Scripture says this. It says, For there are three that bear record in heaven. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. Now we believe as Christians and our fundamentals that we believe and we teach, and we believe in the Holy Trinity. We believe the Trinity consists of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And here in 1 John 5, 7, the one that's in the middle there, the Word, that's speaking of Jesus Christ. Now, the word that we use, the actual word for word in Greek, is logos. And when we begin to understand, if you stop and try to think, well, what is God trying to do? It's very difficult for you and I, limited, to understand, but we want to understand that God has basically given us a look into the mind of God through Jesus Christ. You know, if the Scripture said, and Jesus said it in a couple of places, He said, if you've seen the Father, you've seen Me. And here's what's difficult to understand, is that in the beginning, Jesus was there. See, He really has no beginning, rather, He existed in the beginning. You say, well, I don't know if I believe that. Well, it's probably also going to be very difficult for you to believe that He was born of a virgin. But that's what the Bible says. You see, if you can't believe that He was born of a virgin, it's going to be very difficult for you to believe that you were created by God in the image of God, and your actual existence is because God wanted offspring. And that God loved you and He chose you. And from the very beginning, I believe there was agreement when God said in the beginning, let us make man it was Jesus, and it was God, and it was the Holy Spirit, and they were in agreement from the very beginning. In Psalms chapter 90, verse 2, the scripture says this, "Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God." I heard a paraphrase from A.W. Tozier that said this, "It's like trying to look at from vanishing point to vanishing point." You know, sometimes it's difficult for us to even understand what it was like prior to cell phones. You know, we make fun of people who still carry flip phones. Some of you remember the car phone that was big as a shoebox. And you know, it was only the rich people that had them, and you could look in the window and it was in the middle. Some of these young people don't even understand the concept of going back to not having inside plumbing. You know, we think about it, and I look around the building, and this is something that's very difficult in a church, is to try to get everybody comfortable with the temperature. Because if I'm comfortable, there'll be sleep coming out of the air-conditioned vents. And there are a few others in here. But there are some of you that if it's not 75 or above, you're not comfortable. But I can remember going to church when there was no air conditioning. Amen. Somebody was talking outside just a few minutes ago about buying a TV for someone. And you remember the boxes that were about 6 foot wide, and right in the middle was a little screen. There are a few of those still around. There may be one at your granny's house. You know, when we talk about those things, and those are things that have just happened in the last 50 years or the last 20 years or the last 100 years, but when you start talking about eternity, as A.W. Tozer writes, it's from vanishing point to vanishing point. It's as far as you can look into the past and even begin to try and comprehend, and as far as you might possibly think into the future. Here's what I want us to understand. God, Jesus, is there. See, our mind is limited. And when we think of him, and this is sometimes what people say, well, you know, maybe Jesus was a good man. He was either the Son of God, or he was a hoax and a phony. And our hope for the future doesn't exist. You see, in eternity past, the Word was with God, communing in perfect harmony with the Father and the Spirit. That's why in John 1, 2, it said, the same was in the beginning with God. Now look at further evidence of Jesus' eternal preexistence. It comes later in John's Gospel in the same chapter. In John 1, 15, John the Baptist wrote himself, and he said, John bare witness of him and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. John understood his position, and what he was to do is to come and preach, prepare the way of the Lord, that Jesus Christ was coming. If you understand the story, when Mary was there and she went to Elizabeth, and Elizabeth was with child, and when she came and she spoke to her, immediately the babe, John the Baptist, leaped in the womb of Elizabeth. And his dad, Zacharias, he was speechless until they both agreed that his name shall be called John, because it came from God. And the name Jesus, it literally means Savior, but it was God's way of sending the Savior into the world. Such a strange way to save the world. In John chapter 6, verse 38, Jesus himself said, for I am come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And we think about heaven, sometimes more than others. Sometimes I like to think about it. I like trying to fathom it, or even understand. When the Bible says that I have not seen and ears not heard and neither hath it entered into the heart of the man, the things that God has prepared for them that love him. But it does say that God hath revealed them, almost like little nuggets to us by his Spirit. Jesus said, I came down. In John 8:58, Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. He's trying to get them to understand. And in John 17, 5, this is Jesus actually praying for us. And he says, "Now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, and with the glory that I had with thee before the world was." See, what's difficult for us to understand is how you can have a world without time. But time limits us. Time keeps us from being able to fulfill everything that we want to fulfill. It puts barriers on us. And it's difficult to understand no time and understand eternity. But in the beginning, before there was a beginning, there was the Word. And that Word was Jesus. Now I want you to consider also the Son of God and creation. What was Jesus doing in eternity past? And we find it right here in this scripture in the third verse where it says, "All things were made by Him, and without Him, Jesus, was not anything made that was made." You see, Jesus was creation's master craftsman. He established the divine decrees and the laws of the universe. You know, when we begin to think about the earth that we live in, if you would stop and think about it for just a minute, the earth that's tilted upon its axis. My son this week, he had a test, and then we were talking about gravity, and we were talking about friction and things like that, and I used it for an opportunity to talk to him about the earth being the perfect distance from the sun, and the moon being the perfect distance from the earth, and the gravitational pull that's on it, and the tides, and the four seasons. And I believe, based on what I believe, because I believe the Bible, that it's not by chance, but it's God's perfect master plan that from the beginning, the stars were hung in balance by the hand of Jesus. That everything that we have, we ourselves were created when the Lord Himself laid out and established the divine decrees for the laws of the universe that you and I would be able to be here. That was Jesus. He created the world with all its beauty. Sometimes when I think about heaven, and I've had this conversation with my wife, it's just almost like this. If God didn't create anything else, folks, He's created so much beautiful now. The sunrise, the sunset, the turning of the leaves that fall. Something beautiful to look into the face of a little child. David wrote in the book of Psalms, he said, "For I am fearfully and wonderfully made, and that my soul knoweth right well." Can you imagine looking into the eyes of a little child and not believing that there's a God? I remember one time I was in my eye doctor's office, and I do have to see them in order to be able to see you. And I was in there, and I was trying to get an understanding because I am so nearsighted. Y'all remember little chocolate footballs that you used to eat as a kid? They said a normal person's eyeball is round, but yours looks like the little chocolate football. And I asked them, I said, "Is there ever going to come a time that you won't be able to correct my vision?" And I began to ask questions, and the more I asked, the lady was patient. She started trying to tell me, and I said, "Well, just explain it to me." And she looked at me for just a minute, and she said, "Well, okay." And she went into these cones and light reflection and all this stuff. Finally, I just said, You know, people say, we're here by chance. Everything that's in this creation was the divine work of the master craftsman from Jesus in the beginning. From the creation of the human eye, our hearts, our minds, everything that we have, the function of this body, Jesus was there. And Colossians chapter 1, verse 16 and 17 says, "For by Him were all things created, that are in heaven, that are in the earth, that are visible, that are invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist." You see, before the Son became a baby, He was in eternity past. Before the Son became a baby, He created everything that we see and enjoy. Now I want us to consider the Son of God with flesh. See, here's an amazing thought. The baby that Mary held in her arms was holding the universe in place. See, inside of that little child, that little baby, and I believe the night of Jesus' birth was a night of nights. I believe it was a glorious night. I believe it was a holy night. And I've even said magical, but I don't want you to think of that in the sense of witchcraft or anything like that. I want you to think of it in such a way that there was such a spirit there that I believe it calmed everything. I believe the cattle knew it was a special night. I believe the sheep knew that it was a special night. And I believe the angels who came and spoke to the shepherds, and the shepherds came and they came into the place when they were there. Everyone who saw Jesus, I believe they knew it was a special night. See, this infant flesh actually housed the almighty power of the Creator, the almighty power of God, housed in a little baby, where God had come to earth. Now, maybe there were only a few shepherds who came to welcome the King. But God had come to earth. Now, sometimes when we think about it and we look at the songs that we've sung and we think about when they went to the inn and they knocked on the door and there was no room in the inn, did they not recognize Him? Sometimes we get so busy with our lives and the things that we do that we're just kind of like that ourselves. We don't have room at the inn for Jesus. Or maybe another question, did they not want Him? You know, the scripture in 1 John chapter 1, verse 10 to 11 says this: He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. And He came to His own, and His own received Him not. Now that's in John chapter 1, the book of John. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, which is what we were speaking of, but the world didn't know Him. He came to His own, and His own received Him not. He came to the inn, and they had no room for Him. But He even went to His own people, and they didn't have a place for Him. He went to those that He had come to save, and they said, "Away with Him. Give us Barabbas." He came to His creation, to His people, and they turned Him away. People are still doing that. You know, I heard a guy talking recently about Christmas songs, and I love Christmas songs that are about Christmas. I can only handle so many versions of "I Want a Hippopotamus for Christmas," or "Rocking Around the Christmas Tree," and "Feliz Navidad." But when I hear the kind of stuff we had this morning, I don't get tired of it. But the problem today is there's so many people that have replaced "Away in a Manger" and "Silent Night" and "Oh Holy Night" and "Oh Come All You Faithful" with all of this secular stuff, because they don't really stop and realize or understand and are not willing to accept what it's really about. You see, it's about Jesus. See, unfortunately, a lot of the world today, they're still turning Jesus away. And Christmas in America, and I'm really beginning to see this around the world, has become it's a tremendous holiday. Had someone I work with actually share some pictures with me this past week of what a Russian Santa Claus looks like. And it's interesting. But Santa Claus, or Saint Nick, you know, he's been around a while. The concepts of giving gifts, or people hanging stockings out the windows and coming by and putting things in them, We've adopted that and we do that. And we've got gifts around the tree, and we certainly don't want any child to not have what they need or what they would like to have at Christmas. The problem, and maybe the concern, is that we've let all of these things take the place of what it really means. See, Christmas is about Jesus. Today it's packed with gifts, with songs, with decoration. But when we sing, is there ever a time in your Christmas season where you just bow your head and you thank God for Jesus? And you understand that Christmas is actually a birthday. It's a birth of a Savior. A birth of a Savior that actually marks time where the years before Christ changed to AD or Anno Domini, which means the year of our Lord. Because whether this world that we live in wants to accept it or not, Jesus changed the world. And He's changed their life. Take another look at the manger and think of this. What do you see inside of this baby? In the book of John, chapter 1, verse 14, the verse says this: "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Says the Word, Jesus, was made flesh, and He dwelt among us. The question is, do you see the child, and do you see the glory? Do you see the infant God who is here, farther than our minds could even comprehend? I got a poem that I want to read to you, and then we're going to ask you to stand to your feet. We're going to give an invitation because we always feel like that is appropriate in the house of God. But I want you to listen to these words. The author is unknown. It says, "The maker of the universe, as man for man was made a curse. The claims for laws which he had made, unto the uttermost he paid. His holy fingers made the bow, where grew the thorns that crowned his brow. The nails that pierced his hands were mined, in secret places he designed. He made the forest which were sprung, the tree on which his body hung. He died upon a cross of wood, yet made the hill on which it stood. The sky which darkened o'er his head, by him above the earth was spread. The sun which hid from him its face, by his decree was poised in space. The spear which split his precious blood was tempered in the fires of God, and the grave in which his form was laid was hewn in rocks his hand had made. The throne on which he now appears was his from everlasting years. But a new glory crowns his brow, and every knee to him shall bow." And you can say, well, I don't know if I believe that, or I don't know if I accept that, but I believe it, and I believe one day I'll see it, and I believe one day you'll see it. That Jesus is the living Word. He was there before the beginning, and He'll be there for eternity. Now, we believe it, we accept it, we still like to say Merry Christmas, we still like to see nativity scenes. And we worship Him because He's worthy of all praise. If you're here this morning and you've never met Christ as your personal Savior, you say, well, I've heard the story, I just don't fully understand. I'm going to ask you to rise to your feet if you're here this morning and God spoke to your heart.